This week on football, Haaland slaps Neville.
He talks.
I think
that was friendly.
Harry Kane negotiates with Daniel Levy.
What was it like negotiating with Daniel Levy?
Roy Hodgson wants all the smoke. Daniel Sturridge is a vibe.
It's 7 o'clock, gonna die. I'm in my drop top, cruising the street.
You know the vibe.
You know how we do. Did you like it, Roy?
Very nice stuff.
Yeah?
Very nice
stuff.
And Martin O'Neill talks to balls for some reason.
This is number 23 and number one.
Number one.
Number 15.
Martin, I don't know why you're talking to the ball each time.
Speaking wisdom into my mind. Tell me stories of all that are great. Cherish these days before it's too late.
That's right. Welcome to episode 2 of the season. How have we all been? It's been emotional this weekend. Some crazy things, some crazy goals, some crazy fucking performances. Since it is a new episode, then obviously we want to kick it off with a quiz question. That quiz question is, Harry Kane joined Bayern Munich this week and becomes only the third Englishman to play for the German team. Can you name the other two? Two other Englishmen have played before Harry Kane for Bayern Munich. Who were they? We're going to reveal the answer at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned. I'm also going to do a feature to start off every week because I've been watching for the last 10, 20 years. I've been watching Garth Crooks do a team of the week. So I feel like I should do one, but mine are actually going to include legitimate players. He puts Ben Mee up top and Ben Chilwell in goal. I'm actually going to have human beings playing and not ET playing the false nine. So listen to my team of the week. It's going to be real. It's going to be actual players. I'm not going to include players that I haven't seen play. So a lot of the 3 o'clock kickoffs, I'm not going to include players like that. So don't get angry and moan in the comments that I haven't included your favourite player. And John McGinn had a stormer, but he kicked off against Luton at 3 o'clock. He's not going to be in there. It's only going to be players that I've seen play this week. So live TV games or if I was at the game. First name on that team is Jude Bellingham. Bukayo Saka as well at right wing. Alexander Isak will go right up top. Anthony Gordon's going to the left-hand side. Enzo Fernandez bang in the middle. Fran Garcia at left back. Axel Di Sassi in centre back. Kieran Trippier is the right back. Levi Colwell's going to go in at centre back. Danny Olmo in midfield. And finish off with the goalkeeper, Yanis Blasvic. Okay, so my reasons. Jude Bellingham. Debut for Real Madrid in La Liga. He absolutely bossed it. Anyone who watched him play, he was an absolute dream. Jude Bellingham scored the goal, the opening goal, and got Real Madrid off to a flyer away at Bilbao, which is obviously not an easy place to go to, but Jude looked magnificent. Defensively, he was getting back, tracking back, making tackles, making passes. Dribbling is absolutely phenomenal. And obviously, yes, scored the goal that got everything started for Real Madrid. They looked really, really good this weekend as well. Saka on the right-hand side was unbelievable. That first probably 30 to 40 minutes in Arsenal's opening game against Nottingham Forest, he was magic. The goal topped it off, which was unreal. But I don't know. I've seen a lot of people comparing Bukayo Saka to the best right wingers in the world. And don't get me wrong, I think he'll be there. I think we need to just slow it down with Bukayo Saka. He's not been around for the last 5 years like these top, top wingers have. But his performance on the weekend was unbelievable. So I think Arsenal with Bukayo Saka keeping him fit, Martinelli on the left, and even Nketiah had a really good game as well. I think they could be really dangerous this season. So Saka, yeah, straight into my team of the week. Alexander Isak had to be in that team. His two goals against Aston Villa, the calm finish for the second, always great at running in the box, arriving in the box as well, which is just what you want your number nine to be. his performance was unbelievable, gave Villa absolute terrors all game. Anthony Gordon was equally as impressive against Villa. That left-hand side, he ripped Matty Cash apart. And I think Matty Cash can own up to the fact that he's been absolutely done this weekend. Anthony Gordon, obviously, that big money move from Everton, I think a lot of people questioned it and also questioned his mentality. Is he the right mentality? Is he the right fit for an Eddie Howe team? Well, he's just shown how good he can be. Doesn't have to contribute with a goal. His assist was fantastic. Great cross that Sandro Tonali got on the end of. But his overall performance just ran that Villa defence ragged. He played about 70 minutes, I think it was. And then Barnes came on and just finished off the job. But Anthony Gordon, unbelievable. Followed on from his performances in the under 21 European Championships that they then won. So he was a big part of that and a big part of Newcastle's season coming up as well. Midfield. Enzo Fernandez goes straight in there. I think one of the most impressive midfield performances I've seen in quite a while, especially against a Liverpool team that can, in the right circumstances, can absolutely tear you apart, especially the first 20 minutes. Those first 20 minutes, Liverpool dominated, absolutely dominated, and Chelsea looked rocky. And I think if Salah's goal maybe had stuck and he wasn't called offside, I think Liverpool then go on to maybe win 2-3-4. But Enzo Fernandez, stable in midfield, past that 20-30 minutes, he was a rock and did everything right. Everything that he does that you would want a midfielder worth £100 million to do, he did. So he's right in there on my team of the week, Enzo Fernandez. Who's going in at left back? Oh yes, Fran Garcia goes in at left back. For anyone who doesn't know Fran Garcia, who hasn't seen him play yet, he is a left back from Rayo Vallecano, made the move to Real Madrid and made his La Liga debut for Real Madrid this weekend. He was a big part of that Real Madrid 2-0 victory. And I think away at Bilbao, obviously, yes, like I said, Bellingham performed really well. And it is a difficult place to go, but he was coming up against the likes of Iñaki Williams, who can tear teams apart. His pace, fantastic. But on that side, Fran Garcia, dead solid. He'll be really happy with his debut performance. Who have we got in centre-back? Oh, De Sassi, Axel De Sassi, debut goal for the Frenchman. I was quite impressed by him. Not just the fact that he scored, but I think all round to deal with that front three of Liverpool and come out with only conceding once. And obviously that was partly to do with Reece James falling asleep at the back post, but also the ball from Mo Salah was outrageous. It's hard to stop that. But all round, De Sassi had a really good game and scored the goal that equalised for Chelsea. So, yeah, he's right in there. Kieran Trippier is my right back. I'm not saying that Kieran Trippier had the best game of his life. I'm saying Kieran Trippier deserves to be in that team of the week because what he's now showing is more than just a right back. He's showing that he is a captain. Every single thing Trippier does, you watch him close enough, he makes the right decision every single time, makes the right pass, barely loses the ball for such a creative player, someone who tries things. He rarely loses the ball. I think all round embodies what Newcastle and Eddie Howe want from that Newcastle team as well. Just a mature performance once again and a big part of why Newcastle held on and didn't concede to a really, actually really strong Villa. And then obviously they took the game away later in that second half. Who else is going in there? Yeah, Levi Colwell's going in there as well for me. I thought, again, a bit like De Sassi, I'll have those two centre-backs in there. They're dealing with a really, really difficult proposition in Mo Salah, Luis Diaz and Diogo Jota, but they came out really well. The opening 20 minutes, like I said, were really difficult for them, but there was a maturity in that performance. The central defender of the three, Thiago Silva, was a rock, but Levi Colwill coming back in that Chelsea team and really trying to make a name for himself this season. Again, another player that had a really good tournament in the Euros, the under 21 Euros. I thought he was brilliant as well. His passing is up there, I think, with some of the best centre-backs in world football. I think he's brilliant. The way he passes through the lines, a lot of players don't risk those passes. You see Lisandro Martinez at Man United do it really well. I think, obviously, Pau Torres, one of the reasons he was bought for Villa. And what we're seeing is a player develop into someone who's not just a great defender, but a really good passer of the ball. So he's exciting, and I'm going to put him there alongside De Sassi at centre-back. We've also got probably the performance of the weekend for me was Dani Olmo. His performance against Bayern Munich was fantastic. I'm putting him in centre mid. I think he's obviously scored a hat trick, but all round game, absolutely fantastic. That second goal was majestic. If you haven't seen it, please go and watch it. His turn, his finish, brilliant. And then obviously scored the hat trick with a penalty, composed and won the Super Cup for Leipzig against Bayern Munich. That was great to see as well. And in goal in that game was Yanis Blažević, and another really solid performance from Leipzig, from a Leipzig player. Peter Galaxy, who was there previously, who's been so good for Leipzig. I think he's been injured. Blažević came in last season, really solid again. He took a lot of crosses. He had a lot of pressure. Bear in mind the way Bayern Munich play. They're constantly 5-6 players in your box in that 18-yard area. But I thought he dominated it and kept a clean sheet. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. So he's there as my goalkeeper. Right, okay, so that's enough of this team of the week. We're going to get straight to the part that you love the most. Two Lies and a Truth is coming up, so let's get it started. Right, Two Lies and a Truth. Anyone who doesn't know how this works, I've got two lies and one truth. Simple. Two football stories that I have made up. Completely crazy football stories that I have made up. We've got one true story added into that mix, and that one true story is a crazy football story that has happened. You've got to decide which one is the true story. So, story number one. Robbie Savage was once fined for pooing in a referee's toilet. The Welshman was charged £10,000 for leaving the door open and refusing to flush the poop. Story number two. John Arnorisa has a rock band called the Horizontal Kangaroos. The former Liverpool left back plays bass guitar for the group. That's John Arnorisa has a rock band called the Horizontal Kangaroos. Former Liverpool left back plays bass guitar in the rock group. Story number three, Napoli midfielder Matteo Politano was once rushed to hospital after suspecting he was having a heart attack. He was relieved when doctors attributed the panic to his excessive consumption of energy drinks. That's Napoli midfielder Matteo Politano was rushed to hospital thinking he'd had a heart attack, but it was actually energy drinks that he consumed that was giving him that panic. So that's three stories. You've got to pick which one is true. Again, the answer is going to be right at the end of the show, so you've got to stick with us. A new feature that we're going to try out this week is TikTok submissions. I've tasked a few people to send me some TikToks, and I'm going to react to them blindly throughout the podcast. So let's kick it off with the first TikTok. Right, let's have a look. I actually don't know how this is going to go.
Not so! Outside!
Out in!
Wait a minute. On field decision's goal,
because
I think it hits
Cavett's
chest.
So I'm watching a VAR decision get made in real time with the added audio of the referees and the officials. So this is when Kai Havertz ran through and scored against Liverpool and he used his hand. So let's play this a little bit.
Right, that's clearly arm.
Yeah.
Sales.
Yeah.
I recommend you disallow the goal. It's handball, leads immediately to the ball in the net.
Okay, so it's attacker. Factual, so we're going...
Factual handball.
Penalty spot.
It's on the penalty spot.
I think everyone would benefit from having this sort of audio. I know, obviously, I think the commentators, especially the commentators, have the audio to the VAR from the VAR room in Stockley Park. I am hesitant to say that we need this to listen to during the game. It would be helpful, but I don't know whether we need to hear everything because these decisions obviously go on for, you know, 3-4 minutes sometimes. They go on a long time. Do we need to hear all of it? Maybe not. but maybe post-game, if we can have all the recordings and listen to them, I think that would be really helpful in understanding the referee's decision at the time. So yeah, that's a great submission and really interesting to hear the way that they talk about it. Again, the handball. Handball's an interesting one in the build-up to a goal, because I'm torn, because there's obviously, there's two different rules for handball. There's one rule for the attacker, handball, and there's one rule for the defender for a handball. If a defender handles it accidentally inside the box, it's not a penalty. If the attacker handles it inside the box and it leads to a goal, the goal doesn't count. So we've got two completely different rules, because one's an attacker, one's a defender, and they are then interpreting the rule of handball completely different for both. I kind of want a little bit of consistency. I don't want to see one rule for one rule for another. And it's not completely black and white, but I don't want to see players penalised for handling the ball. This Havertz one is a little bit different, because it does use his arm to guide the ball. But I saw one this weekend in the Barcelona game. I'm going to explain how this happened. Pedri is in the box. It's the last minute of the Barca game. It's like the 100th minute. And Barca are 0-0 with Getafe. The ball comes into the box. It bounces. Now, the defender has a go at Gavi. So the ball pops up. The Getafe defender uses Gavi's body and it hits Gavi's arm. So Gavi hasn't intended to hit it with his arm, but it brushes his arm. The ball bounces in front of him. Then Araujo takes over the ball, I think it is, and then that same defender then takes a swipe at him, misses the ball, kicks him. So this then goes to VAR. When this goes to VAR, the referee is asked to come over to the monitor to have a look to see if it's a penalty. Usually that means that it's a penalty. But he's looking at the handball from Gavi, and then instead of giving a penalty, gives a handball and goes back the other way. So really frustrating, because I don't think that's fair. I honestly don't think that's fair. How can you, as a player, as Gavi in that situation, be responsible for handling the ball when it wasn't you who put your arm in that position anyway, and it was the defender? So, yeah, I'm torn on that one. Okay, next one.
Needs to score to send it to a seventh round.
And the man of the match tonight, presented by Geico, is Diego. I think what they're reviewing is Malagón's save, whether or not he was off the line.
Okay,
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm assuming what is going to happen is Club America think they've won it because the goalkeeper saves the ball, but it looks like he'd come out of his goal and over the line to save that penalty, which means the celebrations go on and then they come all the way back to retake it. Right, let's see.
So good luck trying to bring that back. How does VAR, how do the players, how does everyone right now just find out about this?
Yeah, he's off his line. He's definitely off his line.
Mayer will get another chance to send it to a seventh round. Of course he does. So,
and of course he scores that penalty.
Does. So, Jonathan Dos Santos.
Is that Petr Cech?
To send Nashville to the quarters, Luis Malagón off his line early on what he and everybody in this building thought was a game-winning penalty save about 10 minutes ago. Lovitz now in the seventh round to put Nashville through. He does!
That has got to be the worst way to lose a penalty shootout. It's bad enough anyway, but imagine winning that penalty shootout, celebrating, and then a few minutes later being dragged back to retake a penalty, then the other team wins and beats you on a penalty shootout. Unbelievable.
You know, Liverpool is the capital of Ireland, and that's why people in Liverpool class themselves as Scouse and not English.
I cannot stand Scouse not English. I cannot stand it.
We don't look at ourselves as being English, and that's why people like Jamie Carragher said those things. And that's what you find most Liverpool supporters think.
But you live in England, mate.
I don't live in England. I live in Liverpool, and I'm a Scouser.
What country is Liverpool in?
I don't care. It's just connected.
No, of course you do, mate.
But what country is it in, John?
No.
What passport you got?
I live in Liverpool, and I'm a Scouser. I don't class myself as being English.
But John, calm down. Don't shout. It's a serious question. What country is Liverpool in your mind? I'm curious.
It's attached to England.
It's attached to it? Is it in it?
It's like Scotland. It's part of Great Britain.
It's not like Scotland in any way.
Who'd you cheer on at the World
England,
Cup, John?
What you see in England games, you see small town England, little places,
John,
little towns, little
like
villages.
Leeds.
You don't see big cities.
John, who'd you cheer on at the World Cup?
I don't cheer England on.
No, that's not why. That's not why. No, John, listen. Who do you cheer on at
World Cup? I follow international football.
You don't.
I'm mad.
No, it's crap. Like Jose Mourinho.
John,
said.
You sound very angry. John, why are you so angry with life?
We're Scouts. We're not English. Okay.
Maybe my biggest bugbear in football. The Scouts not English thing drives me nuts. Okay then. So you deprive yourself of all international football because, do you know what? It's a more nuanced debate than just Scouts not English. And I understand that. But grow up, man. Grow up. Your best players, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Steven Gerrard for years, Jordan Henderson, these players have loved playing for their country. These players have sang the national anthem. So your Scouse not English. When it comes to your own players, it doesn't really hold up. Yeah, okay, next one.
Anthony. Looking to release Rashford. Rashford does brilliantly. That's a fantastic ball to Garnacho. Garnacho squares. Is it Mason Mount? Oh, he scuffed his shot. Could have been.
I'm not sure why I've been sent this video. I don't know whether it's because of Bruno Fernandes' pass, which is maybe the best thing that you'll ever see in your whole entire life, or Mason Mount's finish, which is maybe the worst thing that you'll ever see in your whole entire life. But yeah, thanks. Fernandes' pass, absolutely outrageous.
That's Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, here she is. My favorite person. Lightning rod.
Rapinoe is.
This video is 3 minutes and 40 seconds long, so I'm not going to go through all of it because, one, you're not going to want to listen to that, and two, it's going to drive me nuts. All I'm going to do is, I'm not going to give you my opinion on Megan Rapinoe. I'm going to just put a video to show you how I feel about Megan Rapinoe, and it's here.
Ten, nine.
Yeah.
Them say we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in my hand, baby. Don't ever look back. Let the world around us just fall apart. Baby, we can
Every
make
word
it
hurts
if
him.
We're hard to
Every
part.
Single word is painful for him.
And we can build this dream together. Standing strong forever, nothing's gonna stop us now. And if this world runs out of lovers, we'll still have each other. Nothing's gonna stop us.
Cal the Dragon looks like the first time in the future when a dog is able to talk. In 150 years, when we teach dogs to finally talk, every word he says is like. He's practicing sentences.
Not another year of this shit. Two goals already. Goal with your first fucking touch of the season. I thought over the summer you'd have grown up a bit. There's more to life than scoring goals and trebles. But no, the first ever player to score the opening two goals of a Premier League season. You really need to fuck off now.
Yeah, Erling Haaland needs to grow up. It's getting quite pathetic. Yes, he's good. Yes, he's amazing. Yes, he's maybe the best striker that we're ever going to see. But it's at this point, it's sad. And I, for one, think we need to come up with something. We need to come up with a way of stopping him from the outside. The players on the pitch are not stopping Haaland. So it's up to us as fans to try and stop him. We need to come up with something. Spread a rumor that he is... has like a squirrel fetish, or spread a rumor that he has got weak knees, and then maybe in his head he will be playing and his knees will feel a little bit weaker, and he's like, shit, that what they keep saying, that weak knee rumor, maybe that is, and then he'll overthink it and then he won't be on his top foot. We need to do something. We need to come together to stop this man because he's ruining football.
The water came and washed them away.
I get that you're sad, but that's too much spit.
Hello, Jay. Look at the jets that are gone.
Could have had a shower, maybe.
The water came and washed them away. I searched.
No, your spit came and washed them away. Your children are gone because your spit came and washed them away.
I searched.
Oh, here it comes again. I see him. His kids. Look, if you look closely enough, just on his chin. Start by looking at your chin, where the spit is. They're probably floating in there. I'm hoping that's not real, because that's really sad. But either way, it's too much. Right, brilliant. That was my TikTok submissions. If you want to contribute and send us anything, then go to Goalposts TV submissions and you can send us the content that you want us to review every week. Okay, what is next? Predictions for the season. Right, okay. Well, we had a little bit of a look last week, but now we've seen a lot of the teams play. The first thing that I want to say is get excited, Newcastle fans. You have got something going on at St. James's Park. I have not seen this type of feeling since Leicester were looking like they could win the league. And that, honestly, what I saw last season from Newcastle, I thought, how are they going to replicate it? It's been a really long season for them. It was really difficult dealing with the loss of the Carabao Cup final to Man United for them. And they really struggled to get back on track. And I thought maybe that's where they start to go off. Champions League football, they're going to be stretched thin, that squad. But that performance on Saturday was one of the best games of football I've seen in the Premier League for ages. They were scintillating. They were unbelievable. Anthony Gordon, Alexander Isak, Almiron. And again, Almiron didn't contribute in terms of scoring. But the danger of those front three, every single defence in the Premier League is going to feel on edge every time they play Newcastle. The middle three now of Joel Linton, Tonali and Bruno Guimaraes, that is one of the strongest midfield threes in the Premier League. And Joel Linton has been kind of forced into that position, but he's doing really well. But the other two, oh my God, fantastic players. And the back four, Sven Botman, dead solid. Your captain, Trippier, dead solid. You've got a really strong goalkeeper. You've got players to come off the bench. You've got Callum Wilson, who didn't even start. Then you've got Harvey Barnes, who didn't even start. You've got young players like Elliot Anderson, who's impressed pre-season. I think we are looking at a Newcastle team that really could push for the Premier League title, and I'm saying that in week one. There you go. Okay, let's go down the leagues, not just Premier League. Championship. Something that stood out for me in the Championship, Middlesbrough, really strong season last season, unlucky not to get promoted, Michael Carrick doing wonders, but a really worrying start for them. I think if Chuba Akpom does move, I think he already has moved possibly to Ajax, that's transfers about to go through, then I don't know who's going to score their goals. Cameron Archer's back at Aston Villa this season to play in the Premier League, so they haven't got that goal threat. It's going to be really difficult for them to compete because of the strength of the teams that are now in the Championship. The teams that got relegated last season have all got goal scorers. I'm struggling to see where Middlesbrough are going to find their goal scorer. So really worrying for Michael Carrick. Their great start in League One for Wigan. They have had an 8-point deduction this season. They had a points deduction last season. And I think this season, it's only 8, I think, at the moment. But only 8. But they've chipped away at that 6 points off that already. 2 wins from the start. So they look really strong. Well done to Wigan. And in League Two, thing that that stood out for me is Keller Dunn at Mansfield. I think you've got a real player there. He scored goals, I think, at Oldham previously. But Mansfield last season, they had him. He was just, his first season there, looked like a really good player. But this season, he's started strong again. And he scored in both league games already so far. So really strong start for him in League Two. Around Europe, in France, dodgy start for PSG. They draw 0-0 in their opener against Lorient. I think there are really strong teams around PSG that have got a better feeling about their clubs than PSG. And I think this is a season where Luis Enrique will really struggle, not just to compete on the Champions League level, but do what the kind of prerequisite of any manager at PSG has to do as the standard and win the league. I think he's really going to struggle this season. A really strong start from Rennes. They've got some really, really cool players. Guiri, Callum Wendu, who was of PSG. I think there's going to be a few teams. Marseille have recruited really strongly, but Rennes looked really strong, opening win. And France seems to be kind of the league where a lot of players, young players, really find their footing. They start performing, scoring goals. A lot of strikers start out in France, get scoring in France, move it over to Bundesliga or Italy or England, and then kind of make a real name for themselves. But there's a player who's just signed for Montpellier called Accor Adams. Accor Adams. He is from Lillestrøm. He's only 23, but his goal-to-game ratio over there was absolutely insane. And he started this season with 2 goals already in the opening game. So he's a name to look out for. He's a Nigerian. He's 23 years old and he plays for Montpellier. So it's worth having a look out for him. Across Spain, great to see some games back on TV. ITV4 did the Barcelona game on Sunday evening. That Barca game was 0-0, but an enthralling 0-0. There was red cards, yellow cards. If you get the chance to see Getafe play this season, watch them. If you love a scrap, if you love a fight, if you love a game with a bit of bite, they are the team to watch. Constant yellow cards, constant tackles off the ball, nudges off the ball, pushing, shoving. They are the real life equivalent of Mean Machine. If you ever seen Mean Machine with Vinnie Jones, you see a team who's not as good as the other team. They play the guards. They know they're not as good, but they resort to the dirtiest of tactics. And Getafe literally embody that. They got under Barca's skin. And so much so, Rafinha got sent off in the first half. He was getting battered for the first 20, 30 minutes. And then he obviously had enough and lost his head. Elbowed one of the Getafe players. He went down, red card straight away. And Barca were down to 10 men. Second half, a Getafe player got a second booking. I think it was Mata. And then it was just cards, cards, cards. Penalties, not penalties. Fights off the ball, pushing, shoving. It was absolutely brilliant to watch. Even though there's no goals, more than made up for it in entertainment from the card point of view. Elsewhere in Spain, Real Madrid got off to a flyer. That's 2-0 against Bilbao away. Really, really good result for them. Might go under the radar a bit, but I think Real Madrid, that midfield is insane. They've got a lovely mix of youth, Camavinga, Tchouameni, Bellingham, but that really nice mix of experience then of Kroos and Modric, Valverde, and their back four. Yes, they've lost Militao possibly for a lengthy amount of time, but their back four of Alaba, Dani Carvajal, like I said earlier, Fran Garcia, and they're potentially bringing in David De Gea to replace Courtois, who's got the ACL injury. So I think they're a team to watch, particularly Champions League. And I think they'll, my feeling is that they're going to go and win that league because they look better than Barca. I think they've got more firepower in Vinicius Junior. Rodrigo is going to have a really good season, I think. And Bellingham's going to contribute to goals. So I'm thinking Real Madrid. Who else was really good? Osasuna, 7th last season. They beat Celta Vigo away 2-0. Tough place to go, but they did it. And they are starting as they mean to go on. And as they finished last season, really strong finish from Osasuna in 7th place last season. and starting off the new season with a really solid away win. Obviously no Italian or German football really, because the league's not underway yet, but we did get the German Super Cup final, which was amazing. Leipzig were fantastic. They looked really strong. Yes, they have lost some really key players. Nkunku left for Chelsea. Konrad Leimer moved to Bayern Munich. But who they've replaced them with, I really like Openda, who has come from Lens. He had a really great season. I watched him a few times last season. Really sharp, super quick. And they've now got that front three of Timo Werner, who in that division is fantastic. Openda through the middle. And Xavi Simons, who actually had a really good season last season in the Dutch league. So I think there's a really, really solid front three. And then obviously Dani Olmo, who was a maestro in that midfield three on the weekend. He scored the hat trick. But yeah, a really great team. Lovely back four as well. Yes, they've lost Guardiola to Man City. But again, they kept a clean sheet against Bayern Munich, which isn't easy to do. And most teams will concede 5, 6 and 7 against them. Let's go to Portugal. Gyökeres had a great start to life in Sporting. He scored a brace on the weekend. So Coventry City fans, yes, you're probably really sad to see him go, but I think we've seen a player that is probably destined for bigger things, potentially could have moved to the Premier League, chose Sporting Lisbon. I think that's a really great place to nurture his talent. He's still young and he's got off to a flyer for them. They won 3-2 in the last minute as well. In the Netherlands, Ajax start as they mean to go on. 4-1 win for them on the weekend against Heracles, or whatever you want to call them. Impending acquisition of Chuba Akpom for them as well. So that'll add to the front line. Steven Bergwijn scoring 2 on the weekend as well. They're not missing Tadic too much. You can see that. And obviously not forgetting that in Germany, we got to see Harry Kane make his debut for Bayern Munich, which I think a lot of people tuned in specifically for. We actually managed to accidentally get a great game of football and a fantastic performance from Leipzig. But Harry Kane, it's not going to be easy for him. I'm not saying that he's not going to do well, because Harry Kane for me is the best, most complete centre forward in world football. But I think it's going to be a very different style. I heard Didi Haman in commentary say it's going to be very difficult for him to transition from the style of Spurs, where he maybe gets a little bit more space, to Bayern Munich, where they dominate possession and they fill that box. And you've usually got, you know, 10 men, 11 men behind the ball. The one thing I would say about that is he is used to that, because with England, a lot of the times England play quite inferior opposition, and he still manages to score goals in those fixtures. A lot of them are penalties they end up being, but if he's on penalties, I think the first one or two goals and he'll be up and running, he'll be fine. But I don't think it's going to be really easy for him. I think a lot of people will look at that Bundesliga and think, yeah, the opposition, the quality of opposition isn't as good as the Premier League, but it doesn't mean to say that he's just going to go in there and score 40 goals. I think a really good season for Harry Kane, probably about 20, 25, I think he'll see as a successful season. Right, where are we? Okay, we're coming towards the end of the show, so we have got to reveal to you the two lies and a truth answer. Let me just reiterate those three stories to you. First story was Robbie Savage was once fined for pooing in the referee's toilet. The Welshman was charged £10,000 for leaving the door open and refusing to flush it. Then you have John Arne Riise has a rock band called the Horizontal Kangaroos. Former Liverpool left back plays bass for the group and also contributes with backup vocals, by the way. Then we had story number 3. Napoli midfielder Matteo Politano was once rushed to hospital after suspecting he was experiencing a heart attack, but was relieved when doctors attributed the panic to his excessive consumption of energy drinks. So we had those three stories. Which one did you think was true? I'll tell you the true story. It was Robbie Savage. He was once fined £10,000 for pooing in the referee's toilet. I'm actually not sure on this story, because I don't know whether he was fined for doing the poo or whether he was fined for not flushing it. But one way or the other, £10,000 left his bank account to pay for a poo. The quiz question answer, we asked you, Harry Kane sealed his move to Bayern Munich this week and became only the third Englishman to play for the German club. We said, who are the other two? You had to guess. Well, those are the two. First one, the easy one, Owen Hargreaves. Owen Hargreaves played for Bayern Munich. The other one was Omar Richards. Yes, so Omar Richards still plays. He's at Nottingham Forest. He managed 12 league games for the Bayern Munich team. But I would understand if you didn't get that one. Omar Richards, he played there, I think, 2 years ago. Got 12 games. But yes, Harry Kane, third man to play for Bayern Munich from England. We are at the end of the show once again, guys. Again, thank you so much for listening. We want you to subscribe to us to make sure you see our episodes first. They are every Wednesday. They are me every Wednesday. You'll see us on Spotify. You'll see us on Apple. You'll see us on YouTube if you actually want to see us. And we'll also be on Twitter as well. Our full episodes are posted there every single week. If you haven't already subscribed to our TikTok, you get to see all the best clips from every episode and previous episodes as well. So go ahead. It's at Goalposts TV and you'll find us there. Thank you once again. We'll have another episode for you next Wednesday. Please tune in. Have a great week. Speaking wisdom into my mind. Tell me stories of all that are great. Cherish these days before it.